Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. I like my baby hair with baby hair and afro. I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. I earned all this money, but they never take the country out me. I got hot sauce in my bag. What? I see it, I want it.
Best revenge is your paper.
Hey, good morning. Well, afternoon, I guess it is now. Welcome to the Tracy and Craig Show. Craig, you here with me?
I am. Good morning, as you would say.
Good morning. It's morning somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Pretend we're on the West Coast where it's warm.
For college kids. Remember, I used to wake up around
exactly.
This time.
You didn't go to classes? You bad boy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't schedule morning classes normally. I've never been a morning person.
I understand that. Yeah. I really understand that. So, kind of what we wanted to do today, it's probably be our last show of the year. We've got, both of us have travel coming up. I'm probably going to do... I am doing a show for our Friday show, but this is probably the last Tracy and Craig show of the year, but we will be back better than ever, better than ever, can't talk, by the beginning of the year. And we have some pretty awesome guests already lined up that I'm excited about. We don't have confirmed dates, so I don't want to get people too excited, but good stuff. I think. So, but what we want to do today was just kind of look back at the year that was and kind of also what we hope to see in the new year. We don't have any formal thing that we're going to follow. I kind of hope to look at the good and the bad of 2016. And also look at, kind of what I hope to see happen in 2017. And first of all, I need to thank my lovely co-host for buying me for Christmas. He got me a Don't Blame Me, I Voted for Hillary t-shirt, and I love it. It is wonderful, and I plan to wear it to Mississippi. Just to piss my father off.
That'll probably be greeted very, very well in Mississippi, huh?
Yeah, that could be a hate crime waiting to happen. And yeah, seriously, but I don't plan on really getting out anywhere. I don't think my dad would do anything. So,
I don't think my dad would do anything.
Nah, I know he wouldn't. He wouldn't be happy with it. But,
right.
He had a Don't Blame Me, I Voted for Bush sticker for so long, and I hated those damn stickers. So I'm getting everyone back who wore those things or had those on their car. So.
But you're very
don't
welcome.
Don't blame
I'm glad
me.
You like it.
I love it. I love it. I love great t-shirts. And I'm wearing someone sent me a shirt. It's a Hillary shirt, and it says, Move Over, Boys. I'm wearing that today. I believe I'll wear it out in public. I have to get out later. So I'm still pushing it, I'm not ashamed of who I voted for. And
I'm even seeing trending hashtags on Twitter saying, Never My President. It was not my president, and now it's never my president.
Yeah, I actually, it's weird, I said that last night, and then, I'm not saying I invented it by no means, but then I see that it's trending now, and I'm like, I like it. Because I put not my president, never my president. And I've been sending that to Donald quite a bit.
He hasn't blocked you yet?
Good thing I don't use my full name on here, because pretty sure the IRS or somebody would be coming after me. But
Donald hasn't blocked you on Twitter yet?
No. I want him to go off on me. A lot of people that know me know that that has been my goal on Twitter, is to get Donald pissed off and make him blow up, because he just likes to blow up a little bit of anything, and I just can't get him to bite. But I sure have. I've tried. I have given it.
It's only a matter of time.
Yep. A lot of our followers, there's several of our followers he has blocked. So good job, guys. I'm proud of you. You really pissed the man off. Maybe send me some tips on what I need to do.
Well, if I can't do it, I wrote a book called Orange is the New Crazy based off of Mr. Trump. So if that can't get me blocked, I don't know what the secret is.
What you guys should buy for Christmas presents. It's still not too late. Especially if the person wants the Kindle version, you can get it immediately.
Thanks, co-host.
Great book. It's hilarious. It's a must-have for 2016. So I will pimp your book out.
Thanks.
But,
that was not actually intended when I said that, but thank you.
I know that. But, hey, if I want to say it, I'll say it.
Right on.
Right on, right on.
Mm-hmm.
So, sir, what are you going to, when you think on 2016, what's the one big thing that you're going to remember? And we can talk about, you know, some of the things that happened in 2016, but what's going to be the one big thing you, you know, look back on and remember, holy hell, did that really happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'll be thinking that very thing for years to come, just looking back at 2016 and saying, wait, did that year actually happen? And I've been hearing a lot of late night talk show hosts and just random people I bump into pretty much saying the same thing, that 2016 was not the best year in their lives, to put it nicely. But hopefully we can put a positive spin on it at some point during the show. But the one thing I think I'll remember is just this kind of overwhelming attitude of rebellion, of this revolution mindset. And I say majority of voters this year, both on the right and the left. I mean, with the left, you had the Bernie Sanders movement, which came, I mean, when Bernie Sanders announced he was running for president, there were, what, 10 people there? And a lot of the late-night talk show hosts kind of made a joke out of it, oh, this guy has no chance.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't win the Democratic nomination, but he came a lot closer to winning the primary than most people expected. And on the right side of the spectrum, there was Donald Trump. I mean, there were 17 GOP candidates, and among them several, quote-unquote, establishment candidates. It was Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, as Donald calls him, and Rand Paul, and the list goes on and on and on. And this businessman with no political experience whatsoever, the GOP primary. And it just, any other election year, I think things would have been turned out differently in the two primaries. I think Clinton would have won early on in the Democratic primary, and who knows, in the GOP primary, there's so many candidates, but my guess would have been Rubio or Bush. And so, I mean, just throughout the entire year, there seemed to be this kind of overwhelming dissatisfaction with the establishment politics and, you know, wanting some kind of revolution and not really caring what the name was, what the face was, what the history was of the individual, so long as they were outside of politics, so to speak, then they had a people's vote.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely, I agree with that. And I mean, I will definitely remember the revolutionaries and, you know, those of, I consider us, that, you know, there's some awesome people out there that are, I mean, I'm not in competition with other, you know, podcasts. I mean, we all have a place out there, and I know more and more people that are starting podcasts that is, you know, it's breaking away from the mainstream media, and that's what we need. I mean, our mainstream media, that's not what I'm going to remember, but it's just turned into this kiss-ass show. And, you know, we need more people bringing the truth and being revolutionaries, you know, and just, you know, call it like we see it. You know,
There are two sides to that, though. I mean, with podcasts like ours, we do a lot of work to try and research matters and fact check comments made and actually bring forward the truth, the actual truth. But then on the other side of the spectrum, there are a lot of podcasters who believe that conspiracy theories are more factual than actual.
Oh, yeah.
And so they call that their truth, you know.
Yeah, I just happen to know a couple of people that, you know, have started, and like our friends at Together We Stand. I mean, they're getting the word out there about, you know, hate crimes that are happening, trying to get justice for families. And I mean, I'm all for that. I don't have a problem with that at all. And there, you know, there's some others too that I know that I trust that, you know, they're not going to turn into conspiracy theory university, you know.
Trump University.
So, I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying. We definitely need people who are going to bring the truth and do the research and, you know, not bring these false news stories that has been a big issue this year. Mm-hmm. But for me, I hate that this is what I'm going to remember 2016 for, but it's just the outright hate that is going on in our country. The racial divide, the way, you know, if you're not a, you know, no offense to you, but if you're not a straight white man, it's been a hard year. But now you're progressive, so it's probably not as easy for you. But straight, I should say Republican, man. And, you know, one thing that I'll never, ever forget about this year is what happened at Pulse. I wasn't expecting to get directly right into news stories just yet, but that's one example. And the countless number of black men that have been killed by police, you know, while they're running the other way. And they don't have guns. And, you know, we see just so much hate, the Islamophobia, xenophobia, but, you know, whatever you want to call it, people call it different things. And, you know, our last year we lost 23 transgender women to violence, hate crimes. We way surpassed that already, and we still have a couple more weeks left in the year, and it's staggering the amount of, especially since the election, the amount of hate that has risen. I mean, I thought it was bad already, but, you know, you hear about things like that high school that the other team was all black, and the whole bleachers with the students and the team turned their backs to them, and they all raised Donald Trump signs, and you just hear about so many things like that happening, and it really makes me sad that that is what we have turned into. Now there's a lot of people out there fighting against hate like we are, and a lot of other groups. But, you know, we have seen a significant increase in hate crimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I do think, yeah, a lot of people, they falsely believe that once President, when Barack Obama got elected president, that we're living in a post-racial society, that magically prejudice and racism and hate crimes would suddenly die out because we elected a black president. And of course, rationally minded people said, well, yeah, that's bunk. That's not true. However, a lot of people, especially on the right side of this political spectrum, they believe this and said, well, you can't cry out racism anymore. You can't say that minorities don't have equal opportunity or equal rights because, look, our president's black. And oddly enough, it seems like with his election and re-election, he himself, I don't think, sparked division and racism like many conservatives believe. However, his election and re-election, they kind of brought closeted racists out. They had been hidden in the closet for quite some time and just trying to keep themselves and keep the racist thoughts and opinions hidden, so to speak. But once he got elected president, then they just couldn't hold in any longer. And then when Donald Trump got elected, well, I guess throughout all this campaign and the hateful things he was saying, the angry rhetoric he was spouting at his rallies, and then his election, throughout the entire process, it just kind of felt like he was justifying these racist opinions and and a lot of these individuals who voted for him said, well, we finally found a person who we felt spoke for us, who actually gave us a voice. And I honestly don't know. I don't think Donald Trump really has a core of values one way or the other. He just likes the attention and likes money. And so I have no idea if he intentionally sparked the divide and racism, but he did. And a lot of these individuals who are prejudiced against women or blacks or Hispanics or Muslims or you name the demographic, he's probably spouted angry, hateful rhetoric towards them. They now feel like their biased opinions are justified. They're legitimized.
Right.
And unfortunately, we're seeing an increase in these hate crimes or these viral videos of people going on these angry rants against individuals of different ethnicities or so forth, because they feel, you know what, we elected Donald Trump as president, and so this means that our racism is justified, and we can say this, we can do this. There was even a black stand-up comedian on stage, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, and a white man shouted something like, Trump is our president now, so that gives me the right to call you the N-word. So, yeah, it's extremely sad, but I think at the same time we need to stand back and try to see the larger picture. The country has, 324 million people, 63 million voted for Trump. So that means 260-some million people did not voted for somebody else, didn't vote at all, or couldn't vote. And so,
Right. Well,
it seems like these hate crimes are definitely on the increase, and it seems like we're heading down a dangerous, troubling trend. These individuals are outnumbered in this country, and with the increasing diversity in both ethnicity and I think philosophy in this country, their numbers are going to continue to decrease, I think, and they'll be more outnumbered as the years pass on.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It just seems that now, I mean, the GOP is in power everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a long 4 years. But I hope that I hope we can, you know, fight for what's right and get through it and not let them win. That's in power.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, one other thing you touched on I wanted to just discuss a little bit further was fake news. I think after you brought that up, I thought to myself, well, yeah, that's kind of a big story in 2016 as well. I mean, fake news
Absolutely.
Has been around for a long time, but it just seems to be garnering a larger following on a daily basis, and unfortunately, a growing group of people are mistaking it for actual news, and unfortunately, many mainstream media outlets, they seem kind of neglectful in their reporting such fake news stories as
mm-hmm.
what they are, and
right.
And many individuals, like many Trump supporters, they now blur the lines between the two, and unfortunately, we have a lot of individuals in this country who now believe that fake news stories are actually facts, and facts are fake news stories, and I think that's one big reason why Donald Trump was elected president.
Oh, without a doubt. And then what came out today about, you know, the quote-unquote email scandal and what Comey did, I mean, which we knew was a political ploy anyway, but, you know, the more that keeps coming out about that, it's like, damn. You know, when is it going to end? And I don't know. Yeah, but it definitely, like, you know, I read an article earlier today, and I believe I posted it, but the search warrant that, you know, they had in the email case with Comey, it was definitely, I think they called it an intrusion into the election. And utterly unjustified. I remember that phrase, and I gotta agree with them.
Yeah, I read that too. It's kind of funny, not haha. But I mean, Trump, all throughout his campaign, he was a master of projection. When he spoke out against Secretary Clinton or somebody else who may have criticized him or whatnot, what he said he was actually guilty of in the end. And so when he continually spouted the line, this election is rigged, this election process is rigged toward the tail end of the campaign, I mean, then all these revelations come to light about James Comey's warrants not being justified and Vladimir Putin knowing full well about the Russian hacking of U.S. intelligence and having something to do with it, and basically to help Donald Trump win the election, and I mean, Clinton did win the popular vote by 2.8 plus million votes.
Right.
But
right.
Based on our current system, it seems like if the election was rigged for anybody, it was for Trump.
Yep. Definitely, and. You know, I know that people, you know, are hoping that, you know, something's going to happen. But again, you know, the GOP is in charge. And I don't look for, you know, I mean, I hope it happens, but I don't look for any type of investigation to happen. And, you know, I don't think I think it's going to, I just think it's just going to go by the wayside. Like, oh, it's no big deal that we did, you know, we did this with Russia. That's insane to me. It's insanity.
The whole U.S. just kind of comes across right now as idiocracy, and Donald Trump himself is kind of like the hybrid of the Manchurian candidate and idiocracy. Everything is kind of upside down. I read a poll, I think it was a YouGov poll a couple of days ago, which showed the approval ratings of Vladimir Putin in this country via party affiliation And amongst Democrats, Putin's approval was like minus 66 prior to the election and minus 62 or vice versa after the election. It was relatively unchanged. Among Republicans, before the election, they were at minus 60-something, just like the Democrats. After the election, they're at minus 10. They're almost running dead even, plus or minus, when it comes to Vladimir Putin and their approval of him. And I mean, for going on 8 years now, they refer to President Obama as a communist, socialist, his followers as commies, and tyrant Obama, dictator Obama. Many of them approve of the Russian dictator, Vladimir Putin, basically holding their president, their nominee, by the strings like a puppet, and hacking into our intelligence and affecting the outcome of our election, taking away who knows how many of our voices in a supposed democracy. And I mean, it just seems like everything is upside down right now. Can't tell up from down, left to right, anything. And it just, I keep wondering if I'm Neo in the Matrix, and I don't know which way to turn anymore.
I mean, I totally get that. And, you know, I mean, Ronald Reagan has got to be rolling over in his grave with, how we have suddenly aligned ourselves with Russia, it would appear.
Yeah, that's kind of ironically funny. I mean, a lot of these Republicans, they see Ronald Reagan as a god, basically the god
right.
of politics, the god of conservative politics in particular. And Ronald Reagan ended the Cold War, and we love him. He's the best president in history. And now they elected Donald Trump. Oh, he's bringing back the Cold War. He's going to be the best president in U.S. history. What?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense.
No, it doesn't.
And I just, you know, when you hear it, it's like when you actually think about what has happened, you're like, no, this did not happen.
Yeah, there's
but
no freaking way. I know.
And you know, it's just been it's been one of the craziest years probably ever I've ever encountered. And you know, I would be lying if I said that I'm not scared. I mean, I think most of us are about what's about to happen. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but doesn't sound like I am by, you know, who he's putting in with his cabinet and advisors, and it's like, you know, come on, man. You know,
it's like a huge prank. It's like a huge troll job. I mean, Rick Perry, who, of course, when he was a GOP candidate running for president, and he forgot the three departments he was going to get rid of if he had become president. The one he forgot was the Department of Energy. And so,
right.
So who did Trump want to nominate as the secretary of that department? Rick Perry, you know. Who does he want to head the EPA? Oh, a climate change denier. I mean, it's almost as if he had this long list of names and next to them departments they want to destroy or abolish, and I'll give them a call and ask them to head that department.
right. It's been a year of insanity, if I had to put one word on it.
Yeah.
I think that's
a good way.
It's a good way of putting it.
And the longer you look back, the more you think this couldn't have happened. I mean, I remember when Donald Trump first announced his candidacy to run for president, and Jon Stewart was still at The Daily Show, and he was about ready to end his tenure there, and he heard this. I remember seeing him with his index finger up toward his lips and kind of looking up to the sky like he was deep in thought, And he was like, wait, should I leave now? He's really making this tempting to stay. But a lot of these comedians, they just thought it was a big joke. And I think a lot of people in this country thought it was a big joke. And unfortunately, I hear from Twitter followers on a daily basis saying, you realize with this guy as your president, you're the biggest joke in the world. I said, yeah, I figured that. But, I mean, from the beginning of his campaign, he insulted POWs. We called out John McCain for not being a hero because he was captured. And he uttered that line about Mexicans being drug dealers and rapists. And the list goes on and on with when it comes to his offensive rhetoric. That leaked video from Access Hollywood, oh, grab him by the pussy. And then 23 women, I think, came forward alleging that he had sexually assaulted them in some manner or another. And through all this, I mean, this man was elected president. It boggles right. my mind to no end. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, for 8 years, we had one of the most amazing leaders I think this country has ever seen. One of the most amazing first ladies by far. I'm sure, you know, white people are like, oh, no, it's Jackie O. But, you know, the only thing Jackie O really did that was similar to Michelle is opening the White House up a little more, you know. But Michelle actually, you know, Michelle Obama actually took, you know, pretty serious causes under her wing and ran with it. It made a huge impact. And, you know, I mean, they're going to be missed. And that's another thing. I'm having a hard time knowing that that they are leaving. It's really got me that, oh my God, can we do a protest to keep them inside the White House? You know, I've heard a lot.
Yeah, I read an article by Andy Borowitz. It's a satirical article, of course, and the headline was something like, hundreds of thousands of protesters gathered outside the White House to try and keep the Obamas from leaving or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, you know, and it's we don't know what's going to happen going into this year, but, you know, we're going to fight. And we have some amazing listeners and followers on Twitter that I've seen so many people turn into these amazing, advocates now and activists. And if 2016 had a good spot, it was that people realize it's a continual battle for good. I mean, and that's what it is.
And if there's one silver lining from this past election season, I hope comes to life in the years to come, is it served as a large wake-up call to the nation, and saying that we can't take these rights for granted. We can't take progress for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't stand together and try to move forward with these causes, then Donald Trump happens. These elections happen, and we can't do that. We have to cherish these little things that we might take for granted on a daily basis, but many people all over the world, they can't do such a thing. And we can't take these baby steps in the right direction as
right.
as stagnancy. We have to, even though it might be difficult to not move leaps and bounds at a time with these progressions, we have to see it as what it is, as progress. And we can't make it to step, 16 if we don't make it to step 1 and 2. It might be a long drive, but the important thing is that we move in the right direction as opposed to regressing.
Definitely. I totally agree there. You know, we've got to stick together, and you know, this is a time, you know, for everyone to, you know, really come together these next 4 years, and we can't let it stop. That's another thing, is that it's a continual working on issues, and you know, parts of me wonders, you know, did some people just think, oh, there's no way he's going to win, and didn't vote, or?
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, I hope it, for 2020, I hope it will trigger, you know, more activism, more voting.
Well, I hope before then, 2018, the midterms.
Well,
that's one area Democrats have certainly been lacking in recent election cycles are the midterms.
Right. That is
true. And as President Obama could tell us, if we don't go to and vote in the midterm elections and get progressives elected to the House and the Senate and even locally, there's only so much that he can do while in the Oval Office.
Right, right.
Since you brought up, what about President Obama's tenure do you think you'll remember most?
For me, personally, this is a man that fought for people like me and my wife to get married. Marriage equality was a huge deal for me. And I will really remember him for that. I mean, there's so many things I'm going to remember him for. I don't know, people are like, that's only for one group of people. Well, I happen to be in that group of people.
Yeah.
This is his leadership. I mean, and what he was able to do in the face of such blatant racism from his counterparts. No president has ever been treated like he was. And I sit back and wonder, what if he was able to actually do his job and not have to, you know, worry about all this other bullshit? You know, how much could he have gotten done? What about you?
Well, as far as accomplishments go, I would say probably the Affordable Care Act. Me personally, I was rejected from health insurance companies left and right because of pre-existing conditions. And so when that law got fully implemented, I couldn't be turned away, which, I mean, it was kind of surreal to me at first. Wait, they actually didn't reject me? And so, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I think that's what stood out to me. I've actually been able to go to the doctor and get prescribed medication and not have to worry about going bankrupt in the process.
Right.
But, I mean, from the broader picture, you kind of touched on it. President Obama's demeanor, I think, is what stood out to me throughout these 8 years. I mean, from the get-go, I'd say it was a small percentage of people, but it was still there, and it seemed to be ever-growing. These people who did not like him because of his skin color and because his name sounded kind of foreign,
right,
as they would say, or Muslim. And so I received these chain emails from crazy uncles and former friends of mine.
we all
have that one crazy uncle, and talking about, oh, he might be the Antichrist, or he admitted in this ABC clip that he's a Muslim, and Barack Obama isn't his actual name, he's a terrorist named so and so, and pretty much every crazy conspiracy you can think of. And
right,
he dealt with this for a long time, and from day one in the office, Mitch McConnell and and Republican Congress people were talking about how their main goal was to make him a one-term president. And I mean, he was a party of obstruction. And when he got reelected, oh, let's make him a lame duck president. And throughout the 8 years, I mean, every time he tried to pass some form of important initiative, whether it be with regard to gun violence or health care reform or equal pay or what have you, he had to fight against the Republican Party, who just wanted to see him as a failed president.
Right.
And throughout all this, he always came across to the public anyway as cool and collected. And the only time I remember him, he didn't really lose it, but just kind of a look in his eyes like he was disappointed in us. Or John Stewart did it best. I saw him stand up one time here in Ohio, and he even talked about it. You know, I don't see President Obama get mad when he's at the podium, but there's once in a while just kind of let out a heavy sigh and just kind of look at you like a disappointed father. And like, gosh, you should know better than this. And
right.
So, I mean, I really remember that. He seemed to treat people, I mean, the press, the people in general, with respect, perhaps too much respect. And when something didn't go right, he kind of, like any father would, he would kind of just kind of shake his head and think, oh gosh, I'm disappointed. I'm not gonna ground you. You're not in trouble, but I'm disappointed. But he kept his calm throughout all the angry rants and false conspiracy theories being passed around about his name and religion and the Affordable Care Act, et cetera. He didn't seem to lose his cool. I'm sure behind the scenes he did, but I didn't see it for myself, and I have no idea how he's been able to do that for the past 8 years. And if I were him, after he leaves office, I'd go off to some kind of beach somewhere where marijuana is legal, and I just sit back, relax, perhaps read a book, and pass the ball around.
Absolutely. I mean, he deserves to kick back. But, you know, being who he is, he's already said that, you know, he wants to work with some of the young and up-and-coming Democrats. And
he'll need to take some time off, though, I think. I think he will in the end, but he and his wife and kids, they definitely need some time away.
Oh, yeah. And you could see that the other night in that interview that Oprah did with the First Lady.
Most definitely.
You could tell in her eyes. There were times where, like, she was just about to break down, you know, crying. And I mean, yeah. If anybody deserves that time, it's them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she talked about how she's not interested in running for office, and I can't really blame her. Yeah, I love the First Lady, and I think it'd be terrific if one day she changed her mind and did run for office. But
oh yeah,
being the First Lady of the first Black president and facing all that racism and anger and hatred, I mean, yeah, I'd be done with that also if I were her.
Right.
In any case, I feel incredibly fortunate, incredibly lucky that they were our first family for 8 years, and
absolutely,
I'll be sad to see them go, but I'm also thankful that we had the honor of them being our first family.
Right, and quite honestly, I'm so that he is getting out of this job alive.
Same here.
Either from stress or from some idiot doing the worst possible thing.
Right.
You know, I'm thankful for that. And you know, I just hope that if they are able to enjoy some time together as a family, mm-hmm. they deserve it. They deserve a break, and you know, I 100%, so thankful that I was able to see this president do all that he did, especially in the with just how horrible he
in the face of such obstruction throughout 8 years. I mean, that's
right,
pretty incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Being the music person that I am, I'm also going to remember this year that we lost. You know, this is non-political, but damn, we lost some people this year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
you're not kidding.
People got to buckle in and let's stay around. not that you know these people, but you know, their music or their work touched your life. And, some great leaders died this year, and and no, I'm not talking about Castro. That's something else I'm going to remember about this year. I mean, nothing like the political aspects of what has occurred, but that was one thing I wanted to get in about, Bowie, Prince. I mean, if we start naming people, we'll be here all day, but and then, people like Muhammad Ali, who just changed so many things and did so many great things. And, got a question to ask. What do you think is going to happen on January 3rd? Do you think they're going to try to get President Obama's choice for SCOTUS in there?
I sure hope so.
They have every right to do that. And they can get it done that day. There's never been a president who did not get their choice for SCOTUS. I mean, he died, back in March? I think it was. And they have not filled this position on the Supreme Court. And, that's just wrong.
It's pretty amazing, too. I mean, when Merrick Garland was nominated by President Obama, a lot of outlets, they released former quotes by GOP Congress people and senators talking about Merrick Garland, and they had nothing but praise for the guy, how he was
right.
Nonpartisan and reliable, respectful, and he was just praise. And yet they won't even vote. I mean, allow a vote on the guy, and he's been
twiddling
his thumbs for how many months now.
It's an election year. We've got to wait. I mean, what? It's happened in other election years. And that, again, that gets back to how President Obama was treated. And as it was a damn shame. Because he will go down as one of the best presidents in history. Period. That's my opinion, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at what he inherited and where things are today, and, the numbers
exactly.
Kind of speak for themselves.
Yep. Meanwhile,
I will say
one bit
of good news for sports. I mean, this year saw some broken streaks this year. I mean, between the city of Cleveland winning the NBA title for the Cavaliers. After down 3-2, I know you don't like that. Yeah, they were down 3-1, the Golden State Warriors in NBA Finals. They came back to win the title. First time the city of Cleveland has won anything.
I was fine with that.
For a while.
Get it over.
And then, Villanova, they broke their string of early March Madness exits with the championship. And what else happened here, Tracy? What else?
Oh, I think you know damn well.
Oh, yeah, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. First time since 1908. Oh, come on. It's been over 100 years. Really? One title after 108 years and you're still like that?
No, I'm a Cardinals fan, and their Cubs are just blubber losers.
How many World Series since the Cubs won their last one?
11. 11.
Yeah, see? 11. Cubs won in 1908 and
it will take them over 1,000 years at the rate they're going to catch up with us.
See, there you go. That's the way to look at it. But I was happy about that. It was a great game 7. I like the Cleveland Indians, but the Cubs, I mean, unless you're a Cardinals fan like my co-host, it's difficult to root against them.
Oh, please. It's not difficult to root against them.
This is coming from a Cardinals fan, so you're just a little biased, just a little bit.
Wah, wah, wah. Are
you talking to yourself there?
I was happy for my Cubs friends. I have a lot of Chicago pals.
You sounded so genuine right there. Yeah.
Here's to another 100
majors. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. Don't listen to the tone of my voice. I'm really happy right now. Call me Tracy Downer.
I am not Tracy Downer. I just don't like the Cubs.
Okay.
I can't help it. So there.
You proved your point. Thank you.
So there.
Yeah.
What's something you hope to accomplish in 2017 as we near the end of the show?
For our show to keep growing and to actually make some money off it.
Well, yeah, for the show's sake, I want to continue growing and, money would be good just to pay for everything. But, you know, I think that we're in for a good year. And we have grown just leaps and bounds from the time we started. It's insane. And it's because of all our listeners. Craig and I freak out. We've got some listeners out on the West Coast that are like, your show is trending out here. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
And, not that we don't, we know what we do is good work. We're not, we're not professionals, but, sometimes that's what we need in life. Just someone to bring it to you like it is. And, I was real, very happy about, everything that has happened for this show. We have some amazing listeners. I just hope that this show will continue to grow. And then for me personally, I hope that this damn arm will heal up.
Is it getting any better?
I'm kind of tired of it. No.
No.
But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but, you know, I'm hoping for the best, and I'm definitely working hard and all that good stuff, so.
On a personal note, I just want to say thanks for finding me on Twitter and conversing with me over the phone and providing me this opportunity to be part of the show. And now,
oh my gosh, it's an honor.
Rising to co-host of the show. I definitely did not expect this heading into 2016, and I'm incredibly grateful.
I didn't either.
For this opportunity, and I hope for bigger and better things going forward.
Me too, my friend. You've become like family to me, and you know, and I love you dearly, and you know, I think 2017 it will have many more opportunities for us and for our listeners, and you know, and what can we say to the listeners? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have made us what we are. If we didn't have listeners and people that talk about the show, I mean, so many of you guys are always, you know, posting about our show and are telling friends, and it's been amazing to watch it grow the way it has. And you know, we couldn't be there without you, and you know, and I'm not declaring a war on Christmas. I say happy holidays because I want to include everybody. I'm an inclusive person, and I think it's okay for me to say happy holidays, to include every single holiday that's happening right now, because there's a lot. And I hope everyone has a great holiday season. Craig, I hope you have a great time with your family. I'll be going to see my family for a couple of days. Can't stay too long because I've got to get back for physical therapy and all that good stuff. But look forward to a little time away. And then I look forward to kicking 2017's ass. I think it's going to be a good year for the show. God knows we're going to have topics.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Yeah, that's one thing. One thing that comes with a drunk is a lot of conversation.
Yeah, I've tried to look on the good side of things, and I'm like, well,
yeah,
SNL is going to be great the next 4 years.
And I haven't seen drunk commenting on SNL as much recently. Someone might have told them, you know, when you do that, they're going to come after you even harder next time. You know. Okay, okay. All
exactly.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Bigly. Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I guess we're signing off for the year for the two of us. I will be hosting the show on Friday, the Rainbow Connection. I just thought that was a hilarious name. I don't think I'm going to keep it, but it made me laugh because it made me think of the Muppets and Kermit the Frog and not necessarily anything.
You think of reading Rainbow. Another reading Rainbow. I can't do anything. Just take a look. It's in the book. It's a reading Rainbow.
Right. But, yeah. So, have a good one. I know we'll talk over the holidays and, you know, the week of Christmas, we will not be having a show. But I'm sure we'll start the new year off right. Our one big guest that you know about, you know, the person that runs that big group.
throwing out a tease, I like it.
I don't even want to say the, you know, they will be joining us, and I think people will be excited about this. So,
call you TT, teasing Tracy.
It's me, big
yeah.
Tease.
Mm-hmm.
But Within the next week, I should have that set up, and I'll share with everybody. So you'll have something to look forward to from the show in the beginning of the year. That means you have to keep tuning in.
Yeah, to be continued.
That's right.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Happy holidays, and see you, Craig, at the beginning of the year.
Sounds good. Happy holidays to you.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye. Have a good one.